We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
June 1st, 2016 in Brevard County, Florida. It's a great place to be. So we'll be there tomorrow as well. But last week we were there for prayer. I showed up a little before six, and you could already start to see the light coming up over the horizon. And so we will be approaching here over the next several weeks the longest day of the year where there's the most daylight. And so I pray that you will take advantage of that situation as much as possible. The Bible says there's a day coming when no man can work. So we want to take advantage of the time that we have as much as possible. We want to say thank you today to Creative AC Solutions, 759-3284, 759-3284. If they can help you with any of your air conditioning needs here in the central part of the county, give Bill Andriac a call. They were away last weekend and celebrating some milestones events in their life, and we are glad to have them back with us this weekend. But we do want to recommend their services to you. I don't know about you, but I notice if the temperature is too hot or too cold in the house, and I'm thankful for an AC unit that works and you can get it to the appropriate temperature. So today at 11 is our vintage service. Tonight is our kids ministry. If you can be blessed by any one of those things, we encourage you to do so. We're going to take you back to Isaiah chapter 9 today. Verse number 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Today I want to talk to you about the Everlasting Father. The Everlasting Father. Here in just a few weeks, we will be celebrating Father's Day. And I tell ladies at Mother's Day that, a lot of them feel as if they deal with some unfair comparisons, because at Mother's Day, a lot of times they're compared with the Proverbs 31 woman. And truly, the Proverbs 31 woman is an amazing, amazing woman, a blessing to her husband, to her family, and to her community, and most of all, a blessing to her God. And we live in this lady just excels at everything she puts her hand to. And so a lady, whenever you start preaching about a Proverbs 31 woman, a lot of people feel bad because they don't feel as if they measure up to the comparison. Ladies, we're compared to the Heavenly Father. And if you think the standard of the Proverbs 31 woman is daunting, try comparing your skills as a fallen, redeemed father with an everlasting Heavenly Father who is holy and perfect in all that he does. And as a result of the reality that we have in America right now, there is a great shortage of upstanding fathers in our communities. Guys, listen to a pastor's heart this morning. We need you to be active in ministry in your church for more than just statistics. There are people who have no godly male role models in their life. We need you. Society may try and marginalize men, but I'm here to tell you that God needs you. Your church needs you. The generations to come after you need you. Your children need you. Your grandchildren need you. You are valuable to the kingdom of God. And if you did not have a good father figure, it's time to break that chain. If your dad was absentee, it's time to set a new pattern in order. God breaks chains, and the thing about a chain is it can be broken at any given link. And so you are not sentenced to repeat the same mistakes that may have been a contributing factor in your development. Instead, I encourage you today to be, if not a godly biological father, be a godly spiritual father. We need fathers. We need spiritual fathers in the church. And so that's one of the things that we strive for at Merit Assembly of God. And I'm so thankful for the men who are there, who even when they're not their kids, they are there to provide spiritual wisdom and insight and guidance and protection, because it is so desperately needed. God here is described as the everlasting Father. In other words, he's not going anywhere. He's not on life support. He is life. He is from everlasting to everlasting, and he wants to be your father. Now, the Ten Commandments, the fifth commandment says, honor your father and your mother, that you may enjoy long life in the land. There is a great deal to be said when you honor your father. And right now I'm going to transition to honoring your heavenly father. When we honor God, that's never going to turn out badly for us. In fact, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were commended because they honored God and refused to bow their knee. Daniel he honored God by continuing to pray even when it was forbidden to pray. He honored God. He honored God with the food that he ate. When was the last time we looked at a meal and said, you know, God, I want to honor you in this meal? And it, you know, a lot of times we look at the dietary components of it, but maybe we should look at it with the attitude with which we eat. We had a dog that we had in our life for a long time, and it had been a runaway, and if the dog got out outside the front door, he would just run. You couldn't hardly yell at him enough to get him to come to you. He was just running, but he had a runaway mindset because he had been a runaway from the people that we got him from. They had found him, and we'd checked for chips and all of that sort of stuff, and could not find the owner. So they couldn't take care of him, and so we brought him home, and we loved him, and we fed him on a daily basis. But he was such a runaway that he ate with a runaway mindset, a mindset that he didn't know where his next meal was going to come from. And so he would just eat and eat and eat and eat and eat, and he would eat so fast. It was just absolutely amazing. You know, we kind of called him like the vacuum cleaner, because he would just suck the food down, and he never tasted it. He never enjoyed it. It's like, you know, I'm going to eat it, and if I get to taste it, you know, that's just a bonus. But it was because of the mindset that he had. He didn't even enjoy the eating process. It was just, I don't know when I'm going to get to eat again. I'm going to eat as much as I can. What if we looked at it not only with our attitude, but with the quantity that we ate? Now, if you look at me, you're going to see I've got a ways to go and getting back to my ideal weight. And the way that I do that is when I start honoring God with the meals that I eat. There's almost always a reason. Today, my wife and I have reason to celebrate, and you know, but even in that celebration, there is moderation. If you looked at the amount of food that was required to sustain us in quantity, and then you saw how much we are eating, you would see why some of us need to lose a pound or two. We need to honor God with, you know, like Daniel did with the type of food that we. Here's the great thing, you know, my kid's dad, which is me, by the way, he's getting older. His hair is getting grayer. Just became a grandfather here a couple of weeks ago. Really, really thrilled about that. But I, you know, in fact, let me tell you this. Last Wednesday, we had our kids out of school celebration. And so we had set up a slip and slide, and all the kids were having fun and had hot dogs and all of that. And the kids said, "Pastor Bob, you come go down the slip and slide." And I said, "No, you don't understand. When this body goes and impacts the ground, it's not like a teenager's body. It's not like a kid's body in grade school. It really hurts when I go down on the ground. And so I thank you for the invitation, but I'm going to pass. My body is getting older. Should the Lord tarry, I will not live forever. So, you know, I've got to be about creating a legacy in my life to where the my kids and my grandkids and the people at Merit Assembly of God, they realize that the wisdom, the strength, the power, all of that, it doesn't come from me. It comes from their everlasting Father. You see, I need to point them to the one who watches over the fatherless. I need to point them to the everlasting Father, the one who is going to be with them forever. The Godhead is made up of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the Father. And he wants to be actively engaged in your life. Yesterday was the last day that my parents were here. They will be leaving today to head back home. And, you know, as we learned earlier this year with my grandmother, is you just never know when the last time that you will get to see your parents. And so I, if I can, you know, I'm not here to be overly sentimental, but I want to ask you, what's your relationship like with your father? Because I realize with mine that there are a lot of people who do not have the same opportunity that I have because their parents have passed away. But let me flip that on its head. If you happen to be listening and you are a father and your relationship with your kids is estranged, I want to ask you to reach out to your kids, because you don't know how many opportunities that you will have to do that. Malachi, in setting the stage for as the last book in the Old Testament, says that there was going to come a time that when Jesus was working in society, he was going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the father. And so if he can do that in a natural sense, he can most certainly do that for us here in America in a spiritual sense, in turning the hearts of America towards God, our Heavenly Father, once again. But he also wants to do that on a relational level. Do not allow that relationship to be breached. Don't allow it to remain strained. Do as much as is within your power to maintain a healthy generational relationship there. Amen? God is our role model. And so it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The Bible talks about fathers, do not exasperate your children. Do not provoke them to wrath. So we have responsibilities, and God is our role model, the everlasting Father. He is our role model on how we are supposed to conduct ourselves. So I encourage you, do not be an absentee father. Be present. Do not be a silent father. Be there to speak into their lives. My relationship with my kids, it's a relationship that's changed. I'm thankful. I'm thankful I don't have to change their diapers anymore. You know, my son is going through that, him and his wife, and thankful for the thrills, that the new adventures that they are experiencing. But I've been there, done that. I don't mind changing a diaper, but I'm adjusting to this new role of grandfather. And so I'm thankful that I'm not in that same place that I was before. I lost my train of thought there for just a moment, but you and I, we need to speak into their life. The kids, when they were little, a lot of times they were used to me speaking into their life in such a way that it would be correction. And all of my kids still have this ability, and that when I say, hey, I need to talk to you, a lot of times their first response is, what did I do wrong? Did I do something wrong? Am I in trouble? And my answer is, look, you have grown. You have matured. I'm not your disciplinarian anymore. I've trained you up in the way that you should go. You have to walk. Now my role as your father is to speak wisdom into your life, not necessarily correction into your life. But, you know, if correction was needed, I would be there. It wouldn't be like it was when they were 4 or 5 years old. It would be something different. A lot of people think that they only have to honor their father and mother up until they hit 18. I want you to know that that's a lie from the pit of hell. You are to honor your parents. Now, that doesn't mean that you are going to necessarily do everything that your mom and dad, you're not going to do it the way that they want you to do, but you're to honor them. You know, I tried to be as much of a blessing to my parents while they were here as I could be. You know, my heart is bigger than my bank account was. But I want to honor them. But if you're a father, speak into that life, and don't be absentee, be present. Make them a priority. Now, there would be some people that would disagree with this, and I'm okay with that. I worked for a person one time when I first got into ministry, and they had a different philosophy. For them, it was their relationship priorities was God, ministry, family. God, ministry, family. For me, my relationships are God and my family, and then ministry. My relationship with God comes first. I can only be a blessing to my family if I have my relationship with God in line. And if I don't minister to my family, then I'm not going to be able to have the testimony and the consistency that is necessary to be of benefit to the community that God has called me to minister to. So I, you know, through the years, I have made the necessary adjustments. It's not strange for me to apologize to my kids because they do not have a perfect father. God is a perfect father. He never makes mistakes. God is present with you. He wants to train. Listen, do you know that one of the primary responsibilities of a father in ancient Jewish society was to train the child up in the family business? And they were to learn every aspect of the business. They weren't just supposed to know part of it. They had to know the whole thing, from obtaining supplies to craftsmanship, selling to taxes. They needed to know the religious aspect of it. The father was there to make sure that the child grew up in a manner that was befitting. And until they mastered it, they did not have that same relationship. Do you realize that in Luke chapter 15 that there were two sons? Both of them had a misperception of the father. Let's look over there in Luke chapter 15. There was a father who had obviously done quite well for himself, and the sons were actively involved in the business, but neither one of them understood their father. The one son just looked at everything that the father had, all of the wealth that had been amassed, and he said, you know, all of that would be mine if my dad wasn't still alive. You know, I would be entitled to my inheritance, and I would rather have the stuff than I would have my father. I want you to know that's a tragic decision. That's a tragic decision. Relationships are way more valuable than money. And what this man realized very soon was that money in the hand of a fool will soon be parted from him. And he lived foolishly, and he found himself completely and totally impoverished. And he said, you know what? My dad treats his servants better than this. My dad treats his employees better than this guy treats his employees. And so, guys, if you're listening out there, and maybe you've had some kids that have gone off, you press in to know Jesus. And if you've messed up, fess up, confess it, tell them, hey, you know, I messed up, and I'd like to ask you to forgive me, and I want to do whatever I can do to make this right. And so this young man comes back, and he repents, and the father, who was watching for him, who was waiting for him to return, he said, it's time to throw a celebration. It's time to throw a celebration. Do you realize that one of the lies that the enemy says is that you have sinned so greatly that God cannot or will not forgive you, when exactly the opposite is true? He is waiting to forgive you. The forgiveness has already been it's already been dispersed. It's already been appropriate. It's just waiting for you to receive it. And when you do, there is a celebration of an epic proportion that is just waiting to happen. The robe, the shoes, the ring, the feast, all of that was going on because this man, or this young man, came and he was restored in relationship to his father. But there was a second son who had a different attitude of the father, and that was, all you do is you tell me what to do. I'm nothing more to you than a servant. I go this, never one time did you ever throw a celebration for me. You never threw a party for my friends. It's just been work, 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 work. And this young man didn't understand his father either. And so guess what? The father went out to him and he said, son, everything that you see that I have, It belongs to you. It belongs to you. In other words, the one guy looked at the resources and said, I'd rather have the resources than the father. The other person saw his father as a servant and looked upon him as a miser who didn't disperse anything. Both of them misunderstood their father. So let me tell you about your heavenly father, okay? He loves you with an everlasting love. He loved you so much, he sent his only begotten son to die upon the cross, to shed his blood so that your sins could be forgiven and my sins could be forgiven. And yes, he has a task that he wants you and I to be involved in. He's the Lord of the harvest. You see, there are other people out there that need to know about their loving Heavenly Father. And it's up to us to demonstrate that love, to declare that love. And both of those things need to be consistent. But not only is there a job, there is a reward. Please don't think that all God is interested in what you can do for him. I love what it says in Zephaniah chapter 3, that he rejoices over you with singing. And, you know, when I've looked up that word, it means that he's rejoicing and spinning like a top. He is dancing, thrilled with joy over his... Do you realize that as a child of God, you are the apple of his eye? You are the trophy of his grace. Don't go through life thinking that he's holding out on you. Don't go through life thinking that you would be better off without him, because look at all that you would have in your life. You know what you would have in your life without him? You would have heartache and misery and despair. One day I asked my daughters, I said, Are you upset with us because we did not allow a certain thing? And I'm not going to go into that here on the radio. Are you upset with us because we withheld this from you until you reached 18? And they said, after everything I've watched from happen in high school, absolutely not. All you did was save us from heartache and misery and despair. Folks, I want you to know, God has a wonderful plan for your life, and his plan is for you to know him in his goodness, to know him in his mercy. Your everlasting Father is your greatest treasure. He's your greatest ally. He believes in you and wants you to know him. God bless you. You have a great day knowing your everlasting Father. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.